And then number three, if we after that, I want to see a very important makor in the Ramban al Torah. It's a very important Ramban al Torah in general that I think everybody should be aware of. It's source number 9. You see that I printed it at length. That's not the entirety of the Ramban. The Ramban is actually longer than that. But I tried to take some of the most important sections, and I think it's a very important Ramban to be aware of in general, and it actually has a surprise application to our sugya as well that I think people are less aware of, but we will hopefully be made aware of through that source. If we finish all that, then we will begin to analyze Shitas HaRambam. So I have a second source sheet here just on Shitas HaRambam on this topic, and if we get to it, great. If not, also great. We'll get to it in time. And once we finish that, once we finish our topic tonight, once we finish the Shitas HaRambam, then we will open up the first Mishnah in Maseches Shviyos. So I think it's high time that we eventually get to the Mishnah. For those of you who know, my Rebbe, Mori V'Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig, is actually known for his conceptual learning in general, but often that manifests in terms of a hakadama. Very often before he begins a sugya, before you start that phase, he gives you a very extensive introduction on the conceptual topics that will come up over the course of the Masechta. And I've had cases where I've spent months, when we had Shir Maseches Gittin, he gave his hakdama on shtaros, on the topic of shtaros, which is, again, written documentation in halacha. Sugya of shtaros is a very complex sugya. To this day, they were some of the most difficult and complex shiurim that I've ever heard from Rav Rosenzweig. And I think it was months before we opened up to Daf Beis and Maseches Gittin. So just know that I'm really holding myself back here by going so soon into our first Mishnah in Maseches Shviyos. But Be'ezat Hashem, again, once we finish the Rambam sheet, we will do that. Now, I will just say one thing, and a little more seriously. There is actually one element of this topic. We've, of course, been discussing the mitzvahs aseh of Shemitah. There is one element of this topic that we are not going to discuss right now, but I really do hope to get back to. And that is the question of chiyuv nashim, the mitzvahs aseh shel Shemitah, the mitzvahs aseh de Shviyas. Ordinarily speaking, we saw that there are lots of losa aseh connected with Shemitah, right? All the losa aseis, all the losa aseis pertaining to agricultural labor on Shemitah. And of course, are women obligated in those mitzvos losa aseh? Of course, we know that in mitzvos losa aseh, women have an equal obligation to men, so there's no question as to whether they're obligated in those. But we've also been discussing this mitzvah aseh of Shemitah, right? To rest on the seventh year. Are women obligated in that mitzvah or not? One might say no. Why? It's a mitzvah Shazman Grama. It only applies once for 1 year of every seven. Classic Zman Grama. It's a mitzvah aseh. Perhaps women should be exempt from this mitzvah aseh of Shemitah. But the Minchas Chinuch comes up with three or four different reasons why perhaps they should be obligated in this mitzvah. And each of those reasons is a rich topic, is a rich world unto itself. So because I do think it's important for us to actually get to the Mishnayos and Maseches Shviyos, we're not going to do that now, but I will reserve the right to circle back to those topics, because I really do think they're very, very rich sugyas, very rich conceptual topics that Be'ezat Hashem I hope to circle back to at some point. But for now, let's get into our topic for this evening. Let me just get the sponsors open. Tonight's learning is sponsored by Farah Azar, in memory of her mother, Anbar Bas Elazar, Zichrona Levracha, and by Barbara Greenberg, in memory of her brother, Nata Shmuel Ben Yosef Chaim, Zichrona Levracha, and by Alan Heidemann, in memory of his mother, Fredel Bas Mordechai Halevi, Zichrona Levracha. Last week, we were discussing the mitzvahs aseh of Shemitah, and we were considering a hakira, if you will, a conceptual distinction, two possible conceptual approaches to understanding this mitzvah. One option was that it is a reinforcement of the mitzvos losa aseh of Shemitah. The Torah tells you not to engage in agricultural labor, and by telling you as a mitzvah aseh to rest, it's a reformulation of those same mitzvos that adds strength to them. We do find that in certain instances, the Torah will give us multiple mitzvos kedei lechazek ha'inyan, in other words, to further emphasize the severity of the matter, and it's possible that in this instance we have both a mitzvah aseh and a mitzvah losa aseh effectively prohibiting the same things but formulated in different ways in order to emphasize just how significant and important it is. That was option number one. Option number two we suggested, however, is that perhaps the mitzvah aseh goes much further and actually adds not just further emphasis on the same thing, but adds a new conceptual dimension to our understanding of Shemitah. Now, we saw that through the prism of a Gemara Avodah Zarah that appears in source number 3. If you remember last week, we trudged through a difficult Shakla V'Tarya, just picking out the one line that was relevant to our sugya and running with it and highlighting how important that is. And we're going to revisit that in a moment. But before we, in truth is, if we were really starting from the very beginning, our analysis of this topic, in a certain sense, emerges from the psukim themselves. This is something that I alluded to in the past, and it will definitely be important when we take a look at Shittas HaRambam, whether it be tonight or next week. But it starts in the psukim themselves. Even before we get to the Rambam, just take a look at source number one. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai l'emor, psukim that we have analyzed many times already, and we will continue to analyze many times. In Vayikra Perek Chaf Hei, the beginning of Parshas Bahar, the Torah says Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. What was he saying? Pasuk Beis. Daber al b'nei Yisrael ve'omar to alehem, speak to the b'nei Yisrael and say to them, when you come to the land that I have given you, of course, Eretz Yisrael, the land will rest as a Shabbos to Hashem. This is one of the three psukim that the Rambam quotes in highlighting the mitzvahs asay of Shemitah. The earth will rest. Take a look at the Ibn Ezra's comments on that pasuk. Source number two. V'shavisah ha'aretz Shabbos la'Hashem. Mitzvah al Yisraeli, there is a mitzvah on a Jew, shelo ya'azov ger lizroa shenas ha-shabbos, that he should not allow a ger. Now, of course, a ger, when we're talking in the language of Torah Shabbosav, can mean several things. Ger tzedek refers to somebody who converted to Judaism. That is most likely not what the Ibn Ezra is referring to here, because if it were, why would he be talking about a ger as opposed to just another Jew? Much more likely he's talking about a ger toshav, which is somebody who keeps the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. You have a non-Jew who observes the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. You should not allow them to plant during the Shemitah year. Now, once he says that, is he distinguishing between a ger toshav and a regular non-Jew? Chances are, I would suggest, chances are he is not. The reason why he invokes a ger toshav, it happens to be a non-Jew who will listen to you when you tell them what to do and what not to do. So I would suggest that, presumably for pragmatic reasons, that he's quoting a ger toshav rather than just a non-Jew. But you shouldn't let somebody else, let's just stick with ger toshav for simplicity's sake, you shouldn't let a non-Jew who keeps the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach work the land for you. Kasher lona azvenu lasos malacha b'shabbos ki uber shusenu. Oh, he even explicates it a line later. I'm sorry. You should, just like we don't let him do malacha on Shabbos ki uber shusenu, because he listens to us. He's under our, he observes our framework of halachic code, of moral code, and moral laws. So we should not allow him to do that. So the Ibn Ezra comes and says, v'shabbosah ha'aretz Shabbos la'Hashem, comes to tell you not that you should rest, but that you should not allow somebody else to work the land. Now, where does he get that from? Where does that come from? How does it come from the pasuk? So as we were saying last week, the second approach to the mitzvahs asay is read what the pasuk says. V'shavisah ha'aretz. The earth should rest. In other words, the mitzvahs asay is not just taking the losa asay, reformulating it, and giving you the same command in a different way. It's not just another cute way of saying don't work the land by reformulating it as an asay, rest from agricultural labor. What the essay is telling you is that you have an imperative to ensure that the earth rests. The los essay tells you not to engage in agricultural labor. The essay tells you be a safeguard on the rest of the land, on the land's rest. Now, of course, in many instances, those will be the same thing. Ordinarily, the way you safeguard the rest of the land is a poor formulation, because it sounds like the remainder of the land. Right. The land's resting. The way you safeguard the land's resting is by desisting from agricultural labor. But the Ibn Ezra is pointing out that there's another very important facet of that mitzvah that goes beyond desisting from agricultural labor yourself. What is it? Ensuring that others aren't engaged in agricultural labor either. If it's your job, if we're going to personify Eretz Yisrael for a moment, if Eretz Yisrael is napping and your job is to ensure that it naps well, then you're not only commanded to avoid waking it up, you are also commanded to ensure that nobody else wakes it up either. You are given this mitzvah, as I say, to safeguard the resting of the land. And the Ibn Ezra reads that into the psukim themselves of Shavasah Aret Shabbos Lasha. Now, the truth is, we saw this in source number 3 last week, in a Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Tesvav Amud Beis. Now, again, just for a very brief review, the Gemara was talking about the concept of Taliyah. Can I sell an animal to a non-Jew under the assumption, or basically utilizing the excuse or justification, that they're not going to use it for something usher? I really shouldn't sell an animal to a non-Jew if they're going to use it on Shabbos. Okay? Why? As we said, it's Gzeirah Darabanan. You shouldn't sell an animal to a Jew if they're going to use it on Shabbos. But I'm going to sell my ox to a non-Jew, and I'm going to say, you know what, maybe they really just need it for a barbecue. Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? Am I allowed to do it during Shemitah? Those were the questions that the Gemara was asking. And the Gemara said that perhaps there is a difference between Shemitah and Shabbos, with Abaye suggesting that Shabbos should possibly be different. Shemitah Sa'aretz would obviate that distinction. Source number three. V'tayma dehanu depligi alei deravhuna lo yalfa shar yusa de Shabbos mishar yusa de Shvias. Oh, I'm so, so sorry. That's a line. I quoted the wrong line. That's a line from the Tosas Rid that I accidentally inserted in the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Tesvav. Anybody, can we get a Gemara Avodah Zarah? And then I'll read the relevant line. Anyone have last week's Mar Makomos? Thank you. That was a mistake on the Mar Makomos. My apologies. The line, the relevant line is here. Amar le Abaye. Kolhecha de adam mitzuva asur. Bahare sadeh de adam mitzuva al shvisa sadehu b'shabes. That was the key line for us. Abaye says, Adam is mitzuva al shvisas sadehu. You are commanded to make sure that your land rests on Shabbos. That was really the one critical line for us. And the significance of that line was highlighted in the Tosas Rid. Thank you so much, Moshe. Source number four. Kashya li tuva. The Tosas Rid, we saw this question last week, but we're gonna see two answers to the question this week that will further highlight our analysis. Umi dami tzivui d'shvisas sadeyu b'shvias v'tzivui d'shvisas behemto b'shabbos? Can you really compare the mitzvah of your field resting during Shemitah to the mitzvah of your animal resting on Shabbos? Now again, what does Shvisas Behema on Shabbos entail? Not just that I cannot work my animal on Shabbos, but I must insist that my animal rests. If I would lend my animal to a non-Jew to engage in agricultural labor over the course of Shabbos, that is a violation of Shvisas Behema. It's not just the Dirabanan of Amir Lenachri. That's a separate issue. That's a problem too. But you've also violated Shvisas Behema. So the Tosas Rid says, can you really compare your field during Shemitah to your animal on Shabbos? Tzivoy de Shvisas Adeyu b'Shvias, the command that your field rests on Shemitah, Eino Ella, second line, Eino Ella Shalo Ya'asehu Melacha b'Sadeyu. It appears to me that the whole command is only that you shouldn't do work in your field. But if you lent out your field to another Jew who's chiloni, they don't observe mitzvos yet, and they're going to actually use the field for agricultural productivity during the Shemitah year, ain't no over hamaskir. I haven't violated the mitzvah of Shemitah. What have I violated? I violated something else. So lifnei iver lo sita in mishal ve'ein bo ela mishum ve'lifnei iver lo sita in mishal, third line. So I violated lifnei iver because whenever I facilitate somebody else doing an avera, that's a violation of lifnei iver lo sita in mishal. But I haven't violated shmita myself. L'haskir sadeu l'goy b'shvias, and I'll go. And you want to go a step further and say there's a problem with renting out your field to a non-Jew during shmita? Ein bo iser Torah klal. Don't tell me that. There's no iser at all in that scenario. D'lo nitzdavu yisrael al shvisas karka. Because the whole command is only that the Bnei Yisrael shouldn't do malacha during Shemitah, but it has nothing to do with a guy. Aval shvisas behemto b'shabes, but when it comes to shvisas behema, bein al yado bein al yidei goyim, it doesn't matter whether you're the one who's working the animal or you're having somebody else work the animal, a non-Jew work the animal on your behalf. Aser min haTorah. Having your animal work during Shemitah, whoever is leading the yoke, whoever is is holding the whip, it doesn't make a difference. If your animal is working during Shemitah and you're licensing that, Shabbos, and you're licensing that, that is Asur Min HaTorah. Tehacha Kamaz Hirkra, because this is exactly what the Pasuk says, L'ma'an Yanuach Shorcha V'chamorcha Kamocha, when the Torah says that the Shabbos is l'ma'an yanuach shorcha v'chamorcha kamocha, when it says that your ox and your donkey is supposed to rest like you, it is giving you a command to make sure that they are able to rest as well. If you lease out your ox or donkey on Shabbos to a guy, then you have violated an Isser Torah of Shvisas Behema. When it comes to Shvisas Karka B'Shvias, it's just a prohibition for me to engage in agricultural labor. What are you saying? There's a problem for me to lend it out to a guy. Now, last week, again, at the very end, we saw one answer of the Tosas Rid, but the truth is the Tosas Rid answers the question in two different ways. Let's take a look at his two answers, and they appear in the second and third paragraphs, respectively, of source number four.
Does Tosfos actually quote the Pasuk in Vayikra when they go through this explanation?
What, the Tosas Rid?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see the Tosas Rid, and then we'll circle back. V'yesh lomar. So this is the first answer of the Tosfos Red. This is four lines up from the bottom of source number four. V'yesh lomar de'vishvisas karka hisharnu b'shvias. And the first answer that he offers is that the truth is, when we were commanded in Shvias, we were commanded on Shvisas Karka, on rest of the land itself. Kedepirish Amora, as Rashi explains, Denaf Galon Mishabas Shabason Yela Aretz. We saw this Rashi last week on Avodah Zarah Daf Tesef Amud Beis. He says this is the what is learned from Shabas Shabason Yela Aretz or Shinas Shabason Yela Aretz. There are both of those psukim. And it's easy, of course, to have a tosofer between a beis and a nun. They're very similar-looking letters. So whichever one it is immaterial for me. I think they, for our purposes right now, they amount to the same thing. We have this pasuk, this is Shabbos, Shabbason, Yela Aretz. And what does it mean? The first bold of source number four. The Aser lahaskir sadeu lugai b'shvias, habu b'shabbos lo hisharnu al shvisas karka. He does a 180, the Tosfos read. He says, you know what? The truth is, if I took my field and I lent it to a guy during Shemitah, that would be a de'oraisa violation of the mitzvah saseh of Shemitah. Because the Torah tells me, Shabbos Shabbason Yela Aretz, that the earth needs to rest. My imperative is to ensure that the earth rests. And even if I'm not doing any agricultural labor myself, but I'm facilitating somebody else to do so, I'm effectively not fulfilling my obligation towards the land to ensure that it rests. So in this sense, Tosfos Rid is constructing a parallel that the Minchas Chinuch in source number 5 is going to absolutely run with between an animal on Shabbos and a field during Shemitah. Just like on Shabbos, I'm obligated to ensure that my animal rests, on Shemitah, I am obligated to ensure that my field rests. But the truth is, the Tosfos Rid does offer, subtly, another answer to the question. It says, V'tama dahanu depligi, this is the final paragraph, two lines up from the bottom of source number 4. V'tama dahanu depligi alei derav huna, delo yalfa shir yusu de Shabbos, mi shir yusu de Shvias. What is the reason for those who disagree with Rav Huna, who say that you can't compare Shabbos to Shvias? Right? So far, he explained the comparison between Shabbos and Shvias in the following way. He invoked an analogy. Your field during Shemitah is similar to your animal on Shabbos. That is the equation that he's been drawing until now for Rav Huna. Field on Shemitah equals animal on Shabbos. But look at how he describes the Shita of Rav Huna here. Yeshlomar de Rav Huna de Yalif, Savar lifnei iver lo sitein michshol iser torahi. Rav Huna, who assumes they are comparable, assumes that lifnei iver lo sitein michshol is aser mida araisa, ki hechi dehasam talinon, hachanami b'shvisas behemto b'shabes talinon. Just like by the prohibition of lifnei iver, you're allowed to use what we were calling talia, you're allowed to use a justification saying that they're just going to eat the animal, they're not going to use it. So too here by shvisas behema, on Shabbos, you are able to invoke a taliyah. What is different about the Tosfos Rid's depiction of Shitas Rav Huna here, as opposed to the way he presented the Shita in the third paragraph just a line ago, or two lines ago? Or to put it in other terms, for each of these two answers, what is the comparison between Shemitah and Shabbos? In the first case, we were saying it's that your land on Shemitah is similar to your animal on Shabbos. What's he saying here in the second answer?
The Hebrews is comparable to that.
So what is comparable to Shabbos in the second answer? Here, the Tosfos Rid isn't saying that, oh, your field resting during Shemitah is compared to your animal, is similar to your animal resting on Shabbos. Here he's saying, no, it's something totally different. What are we dealing with in the Shemitah case? Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. If I give my field to, again, a chiloni farmer who's not going to keep Shemitah, okay? In the Tosfos Rid's first answer, he's assuming who has violated Shemitah? Me, because I've created a scenario where the land is not going to rest. In this second answer, he's saying, what have I violated? He's saying I violated Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Does that mean it's my Avera? No. Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol means I'm facilitating the Avera of somebody else. He's saying Rav Huna thinks, don't worry so much about what Avera we're dealing with. It's Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. It's Shvisas Behema B'Shabbos. If you're able to get out of an Isser del Raisa, that's good enough for me, right? In the second explanation of Rav Huna. It doesn't make a difference as to what exactly the nuances of the mitzvahs are. Lifnei iver, Shvisas Behema B'Shabbos, and Isser del Raisa is an Isser del Raisa. If it works, it works. Now, when Tosfos Rid presents this second answer, and again, he does this very subtly, he is implicitly denying the comparison that he embraced in answer number one. Now he is saying that when you lease a field to a non-Jew, you have not violated Shemitah on a De'oraisa level. Rather, what have you violated? Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, indicating that it's not part of the etzem command of the mitzvah saseh of Shemitah. So our two approaches to how to understand this mitzvah of Shemitah implicitly emerged from the Tosas Rid itself. Now, before I take questions, let me just point out that it really emerges as an explicit machlokas among the Achronim, between the Menchas Chinuch and the Chachma Shlomo, between the Maharshal on the one hand, and the Chazon Ish on the other hand. And this is how it's classically studied in the Raid. We don't need to read it all inside, because a lot of it is very similar to the stuff that we've been reading so far, but let's just take a quick look at source number 5. Menchas Chinuch, uvashmita emosa avodas ha'ares kegon shachorish adeyu ozorea okotzer al yedei akum. It says, let's say I engage an agricultural laborer during the Shemitah year through an Akum, through a Nachri, I have a non-Jewish worker do it for me. It's true that you haven't violated the Losa Asay, at least on a De'oraisa level. Because everything is written to the person themselves, you should desist from planting in your field. Then the bold of source number 5, Ach ba'asei over b'chol avodas karka afilu al yidei acherim. However, the mitzvah says you violated, even if others are doing it for you. Tichsiv Shabbat Shabbason Yela Aretz. Because the pasuk says, Shabbat Shabbason Yela Aretz, it should be this year of rest for the land. V'shavisah ha'aretz, and the land should rest. Mevor gzeiros ha'kosov de ha'aretz tishbos. It is clear from the psukim themselves that the earth should rest. U'kirmosh mitzuvim al shvisas kelem v'shvisas behema b'shabbos. Kain Muzharim al Shvisas Ha'aretz Bishmita, and the Menchas Chinuch draws the comparison explicitly that was implicit in the Gemara. Just like your animal must rest on Shabbos, your land must rest during Shemitah. And he goes on to develop this further. He quotes our Gemara, Avodah Zarah Daf Tesvav. I'm just going to point out the last line here, which I guess is foreshadowing for our topic at the end of this evening. Uketzas Tzarech Iyun. And there is one thing that bothers me. Shalom Matzasi Barambam Din Zem Meforash. I have never found this halacha in the Rambam. Menchas Chinuch says, I haven't found this halacha in the Rambam. But he concludes with, Achvadai halacha hi be'ein cholek. But it's clear that this is the halacha be'ein cholek. And nobody would argue with it. I could say that at least the ein cholek part seems to not be true. There are definitely cholkim, okay? But whenever, of course, something doesn't appear in the Rambam, that, of course, forces us to scratch our heads. And when we take a look at the Rambam, we will have to scratch our heads even more to try to understand how exactly the Rambam understands all this. But among the Achronim, the great advocate of saying that the mitzvah saseh of Shemitah is a mitzvah to ensure that your land rests, akin to, explicitly akin to, the imperative to ensure that your animal rests on Shabbos, is the Menchas Chinuch. It comes up in the Maharshal as well, in source number 6, in the Chachma Shlomo. We don't need to read the source inside. There he is talking about Amir Lenachri. He's talking about Amir Lenachri, the Isra Amir Lenachri, and he says, Amir Lenachri, which is a concept that we're most familiar with on Shabbos, but exists in other areas of halacha as well, asking a non-Jew to do something usur on your behalf. There are differences between Shabbos and other areas of halacha, for sure, but that we're certainly not going to get into right now. But he says, Amir Lenachri, during Shemitah, is Mita Oraisa, exactly in line with everything what we're saying, is a violation of the mitzvah saseh. The big bar plugta on all of this is the Chazon Ish, source number 7. He bases it, he says, V'tosos, source number 7, we'll read quickly. V'tosos avodah zarah shah mashma, she'ein ha'isr shal shvisa sasadeh toloi b'ba'alos, ela ha'oved besadeh overal isr shvisa. He says, based on Tosos and avodah zarah there, it's really the first half of Tosos that we didn't see last time, because again, it's quite involved, and I don't really want to get bogged down in that first half of Tosos. But he has a diuk at the beginning of Tosvos to say that it's not about owning the field. That's the problem. It's about doing the work. It's about actually, plowing is the wrong example, but it's actually about putting down seeds and harvesting and all of that. That is the isur on of Shemitah. Okay, again, we're not going to get into the nuances of that. But the final line of source number 7, after the comma on the second line, Avalim ode oved ba'akum b'schirus ein Yisrael over mishum shvisa. Don't give me this nonsense that if a guy is doing it, somehow you've still managed to violate the Isser de'oraisa, or at least the mitzvah saseh de'oraisa, if it's being done al yidei nachri. That is not the case. It's only if you are doing it yourself.
Even if you command them to.
Even if you lease it out to him, if you would command them to, then it'd still be an Isser amir l'nachri. But it wouldn't be a de'oraisa violation of the essay of Shvias, of Shemitah. So we end up with this machlokas, perhaps in the Rishonim, it perhaps appears as two deus in the Tosas Rid, and is quite explicitly a machlokas among the Achronim between the Menchas Chinuch and the Maharshal and the Chazon Ish. And there are others who side with the Chazon Ish as well. Rav Asher Weiss is partial to the Chazon Ish's tzad in this machlokas. He thinks that it may even be pshat in the Tosas Rid. He has a longer analysis of the Tosas Rid. But you have this machlokas. In short, again, before we'll get to questions, and then we'll get to our next nafkamina, we have these two views, these two conceptual approaches too, the mitzvah seseiv shmita, with a clear nafkamina, with a clear important application for the question of leasing your field out to a non-Jew. If shmita is just reinforcing the los aseh, then renting your field out to a non-Jew may not be a nice thing to do, but it's not going to be an isur d'oraisa. If the mitzvah seseiv is an imperative to ensure that your field rests, that your field remains fallow, then perhaps renting it out to a non-Jew will be an isur d'oraisa. There's one other point that I wanted to make, and then we'll take questions, and then we'll go further. Rav Kook, we were speaking at the very end last week of the possibility that perhaps it's only usur if you are renting out your field to another Jew, but not to a non-Jew. We noted that was an ambiguity in Tosafot Beinu Hanan. Somebody raised that possibility. I don't remember. We raised that possibility that last week. That is actually the shita that's adopted by Rav Kook in Shavat Ha'aretz. I didn't print it here, but Rav Kook maintains a middle position between these two approaches. That if you lend it out to a Chiloni farmer, then you have violated the mitzvah sase. If you lend it out to a Goy, then you have not violated the mitzvah sase. Now, that middle shita, as middle shita's trend in general, is, in my mind, harder to explain than either of the two extremes. If you say your mitzvah is to ensure that the land rests, right, then why does it matter who's doing the work? Why does it matter if it's a Jew or a non-Jew? If you say it's just a repetition of my mitzvah lo sa'aseh, then it should only be me. It also shouldn't matter if it's a Jew or a non-Jew. I think it's a little bit of a difficult shita to explain conceptually. I don't know if anyone has any thoughts. I mean, I have my own, I guess.
What about the Lev Na'iver part of it?
Lev Na'iver, you'd certainly have. But that's a separate iser. You wouldn't have it for a guy.
Right, so you'd have it for a Jew.
But he's talking about the mitzvah of Shemitah. He's not talking about Lev Na'iver. Lev Na'iver, of course, you're 100% right, would only be to a Jew, but not to a non-Jew. But why would the mitzvah of Shemitah be violated? Sorry, Henry?
Well, it can't be both.
It would be both, Rav Kook would tell you.
But in the pasuk, it's at a certain point in time, it transforms itself.
What transforms itself?
The chiyuv. It's a land chiyuv that requires the cooperation of the person and the land together. So you can't bifurcate the two. Or you don't have to learn one. You don't have to lean on one or the other to look for another limud.
But how does that explain why a Jew versus a non-Jew?
Because the pasuk specific says that when you come in and you will inherit it, when it's talking directly to only Am Yisrael. It's a direct Yerusha to Chiv on Bnei Yisrael to the land itself.
I hear what you're saying. I mean, but I think even your formulation, right? Is it Bnei Yisrael or is it the land, right? What I would say is something similar. In other words, perhaps the imperative of Shvisa Sa'aretz, we've been kind of like personifying the land itself when we were talking about Shvisa Sa'aretz. Let the earth rest. Let the earth nap, right? Let Eretz Yisrael nap. But you can also invoke another personification of Haaretz. In other words, when we talk about a land, sometimes we're talking about the people of the land, right? We're talking about a nation, right? Shavasa Haaretz. Now, does that really work? Often in the Tanakh, we refer to Am Yisrael versus or right? We talk about an Am versus an Eretz. But I think if we're reading it in a kind of, I guess, more figurative language, Shavasa Haaretz might mean that it's not about the soil. The soil is not resting. It's about establishing a year of rest for the nation of that land. And if that's the case, then you might start distinguishing between, I think this is similar to what you're saying in a certain sense. You might say that it's specifically on Jews. Your imperative is to ensure that Jews are resting from the land, that for Klal Yisrael there is a year of rest, but it's not necessarily on, the particles of soil itself. So that is a middle shita of Rav Kook. Okay, so that was point number one, just like fleshing out some of the stuff we were doing last time. Yeah.
Is the mitzvah only applicable when Bnei Yisrael is in control of the land?
Okay, we will get to that's a long topic. Right, because, or Midrabanan. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Because it sounds like this is something that's an imperative on the Sanhedrin, right, to enforce.
I would not say that. We have mitzvahs that are on the Sanhedrin. Lots of mitzvahs that are on the Sanhedrin.
But the language of the pasuk, right? It's not directed to anybody in specific. It's the land, right?
Right. I would say each individual has an imperative to ensure that the land rests. Right. I hear what you're diok from the pasuk itself, right. but I would not care. I guess the closest to what you are suggesting now is, I think, Rav Kook's shita is the closest to what you're saying right now. I still wouldn't go as far as to say that it's a mitzvah ala Sanhedrin. We do have certain mitzvahs that are on the Sanhedrin to maintain a certain character of a moral and spiritual character of the nation. The best example would a classic example would perhaps be the Ramban's understanding of the mitzvah of Kedesha, Luya Kedesha b'Bnei Yisrael, right? The prohibition against prostitution, right? So that Isur is understood in many different ways by different Rishonim, but the way it's understood by some is that it's an imperative on the Sanhedrin to make sure that that doesn't exist in all of Klal Yisrael, right?
Mine is slightly different, my thought. It's because, just like Bris, right? Bris Miller, it's on the father, but if the father doesn't do it, it's on the Sanhedrin to make sure it happens,
okay,
right?
On the best
so this
thing,
is
yeah.
the same thing. It's on the individual, but if the individual doesn't enforce it, the Sanhedrin should enforce it so that...
Okay, so Bris Mila is a very complicated paradigm, which again, I don't want to get into right now. Is it really a mitzvah on the father, or is it a mitzvah on the son? Is the father a shliach? Is it his mitzvah? So if we were learning the Rebbe Elazar de Mila, if we were learning Masech Shabbos, then we'd have to get into all those discussions. It is true to say that the father has an obligation, and if he neglects it, the Beis Din kicks in. We do not find a similar formulation, as far as I know, by Shemitah. So I hear where you're coming from based on the pasuk, and I hear the intuition. I just don't think it expresses that way in itself in the full halachic sense. That has by Mila, for example.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand, if you lend out your field, whether you lend it out to a guy or you lend it out to a chiloni or whatever it is, you're lending it out, you're getting money for it.
Right.
So regardless, if you lend it out to a guy, you're still getting money from something that basically the earth should have been doing nothing and you should have been collecting nothing from it.
Right.
You still are collecting money.
But
so why isn't there Isser involved in that?
So I'll give you a counterexample. Let's say I just own an apartment that I'm leasing out, and somebody wants to live there, right? There's no Isser for me to lease that out during the Shemitah year, right?
But that's not the same thing.
In other words, there's no prohibition for me to get money from the land itself. That we agree, right? Again, just use my example. I have a house, and I want somebody, or I have a piece of land, and somebody wants to.
Prohibition against getting money from the land. You're not supposed to collect anything from the land. Period. The land is supposed to sit, and nothing is supposed to come from it.
But if it grows anything naturally, I'm allowed.
If it grows just because it grows,
I understand. But I'm saying
just can't. Your
point is well taken, and I'm not saying it's fully in the spirit of the halacha. But the Isser is, according to the Chazon Ish, let's say, to work the land. And even if I'm doing something like not great or not in the spirit of the halacha by leasing it out and benefiting from somebody working it, right? The Chazon Ish is saying that's still not the same as rolling up your sleeves and sticking your hands in the dirt and doing charisha.
Your sleeves was basically you're collecting money on something that the guy is rolling up his sleeve.
Right.
Mashal amad davar dama.
It's usher for me to drive on Shabbos. Now I say I pay a nachri to open the door for me. I sit in the car and he drives for me, right? So is that still usher? It's usher midrabana. It's not usher d'oraisa. Now you'll tell me it's tantamount to the same thing. In a chinami. We still don't like it. It's still usher d'rabbanan,
right.
But it's not the same as doing it yourself.
I cannot understand.
We should not be doing it. Everybody agrees to that. Okay, so that's whether it's part of the Isser Aseh of Shvius or not is the machlokas of the Minchas Kanel Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is not advocating for it either. Okay, yeah.
So according to the Chazon Ish, you could never have a heter mechira, right?
According to the Chazon Ish, you could never have a heter mechira.
Because the land,
why?
If the violation is on any work being done to the land, it doesn't matter whether it's Jew owned or goy owned. So you couldn't get around. So a lot of the ways that you get around in Yone.
Okay, so we'll obviously have to talk about the Heter Mechira as we go along. I'm not sure that would totally be the case, because even those who assume that the mitzvahs, as far as I could tell, and this is actually a point that Rav Asher Weiss raises tangentially, but even the Menchas Chinuch, who assumes that there's a mitzvah asay to ensure that the land rests, assumes that it is only your land. It assumes that it's an Isur Bailus, the way he puts it. Otherwise, what? I have to run around the entire country yelling at people not to farm?
You're not allowed to help a gear. You're not allowed to assist a gear in doing it.
Right, but is the Ibn Ezra talking about anywhere on the land or just your land?
So
Ronnie, what you're saying is, just give me one second.
Yeah.
That's one of Usher Weiss's reductios actually to prove against this idea of Shvi Sasa Aretz. He says, why should it just be your land? You should have to go around all of Eretz Yisrael, yelling at everybody, you know, throwing rocks and saying, Shemitah, Shemitah, right? Like, you have to stop everybody from doing it. So he assumes that that's entirely implausible, entirely ridiculous, and that's why he adopts the position of the Chazon Ish.
Yeah, but also keep in mind the other thing. I mean, it's not, a heter mechira oftentimes is kind of like the sale of chametz before Pesach.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So you have to. It's a real mechira, but it's not a real mechira.
Okay. It's what you would call a legal fiction, perhaps,
right.
or what halacha calls
right.
a ha'arama.
So even if
of course even it's a ha'arama. Of course it's a ha'arama. Yeah.
Right. So if that's the case, you have the same problem. You're still not letting the land lay fallow. If you wouldn't be allowed then to benefit from a heter mechira under that theory.
But you're talking, again, the ha'arama piece is totally separate from what we're saying about initially. The fact that you're using a loophole is the same discussion, like you said, about mechiras chametz. When are we comfortable relying on ha'aramas? When are we not? Okay, that's a fair question. But I think in terms of the mitzvah essay piece, I should look back if anybody brings it. There are other issues with the heter mechira that kind of feature more prominently than this. I think the classic response to this, or the intuitive response to this would be, even the minchas chinuch, who assumes that it's a mitzvah to ensure that the land rests, only assumes that imperative is on your land. It's right. I don't have to go around ensuring that everybody else has make sure that their land rests. Now, just parenthetically, this actually does have quite real and relevant halacha l'maisa ramifications for the following scenario that is discussed by the poskim. Let's say I have a garden that I own jointly with my chiloni neighbor, and my chiloni neighbor is going to be doing gardening. On this, yeah, let's say we have a condo or something like that, or I'm in an apartment building, and we all have this joint shutfus in a garden area. And they're going to be either working the land themselves or paying gardeners to do it. So at the outset, you tell me, okay, so what am I doing wrong? I'm not working the land. But if my mitzvah saseh dictates that I have a chiyuv to ensure that my land rests during the Shemitah year, then I should have a chiyuv to do it.
But
the added sensitivity by Shemitah is precisely this mitzvah saseh that we're talking about, right? As we said, by Shabbos, you have a mitzvah shvisas behemto, but not shvisas adehu. Here, by Shemitah, right, my mitzvah is to ensure that my land rests, right? On Shabbos, I have a mitzvah to ensure that I rest, that my animals rest, perhaps that my kalim rest, but what about the land itself? So here, I have an imperative to ensure that my land rests. So I know that my Rebbe and my poskim maintain that you need to go over to them before Shemitah, and you need to express to them in the strongest terms, I really object to this. I really think we should be observing Shemitah. I mean, in the nicest terms, of course, but also in clear terms, that I don't want any part of this, et cetera, et cetera. Some poskim go further and say that you need to be mafkir your chelek in the land. You have to declare it hefker. You have to say that I'm not taking part of this because of this sensitivity of the Minchas Chinuch by Shvisa Saaretz. Yeah, Henry and Ronnie, yeah. Ronnie, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, it's like if you own a business, it's the same thing with Pesach. You own a business which is going to sell chametz over Pesach. The Jew who owns a business with a guy sells the business for that week. So that only it's the same thing with the land. So you sell your land for that year to your partner, so that he doesn't.
Right. From a practical standpoint, it's a comparable problem. From a practical standpoint, it's a comparable problem. But again, it's uniquely highlighted because you have this imperative to ensure that your land rests during the Shemitah year. Okay.
Can you sell it to a Jew who you know is going to work the land?
That would be lifnayver,
right?
At the very least, right? That would be nisdoraisa lifnayver. So again, it might also be a violation of the mitzvah saseh of Shemitah, but at the very least, it's lifnayver. Now, let's get it. So I guess we're out of time again. We got to number one of the three items on my list. Let me at least introduce number two, and hopefully we'll be able to squeeze in the last two issues and Shitas HaRambam, because I really do think the remaining issues are important, into our next shiur. And we're definitely not going to have three more shiurim on this topic. If we have to do a little bit of tashlum in two shiurim from now just to maybe finish up this Ramban or something like that, that will be fine. But we really need to move forward. I will leave you with the following question that appears in source number 8. Here's a suffix of the Minchas Chinuch that he thinks is related to this question. And the question that I leave you all with to ponder over the course of the next week is it identical to our current question or is it not? Here's the question of the Minchas Chinuch. It's almost Shemitah. And I put a seed into the ground. Now, our next sugya that comes up in the first Mishnah of Masechet Shviyos is going to be Tosefes Shviyos. Just like you have a mitzvah to add on to Shabbos, you have a mitzvah to add on to Shemitah. And we're going to be exploring both Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Shemitah in our next sugya, okay? But let's just say you could get around that. You could get around that for whatever reason. We'll talk about ways you could possibly get around that. You get around the problem of Tosefes Shviyos. You put a seed in the ground right before the Shemitah year, a day or two before the Shemitah year. So now, you studied basic ninth grade biology. You know that the seed is going to germinate, and it's going to sprout, and it's going to start growing roots. And when is that all going to happen? If you put it right in before the Shemitah year, it's going to happen during the Shemitah year. Is there an isser or a violation of the mitzvahs aseh of Shemitah for work that you did, agricultural labor that you did before the Shemitah year, but is going to actually impact the earth itself, the ground itself, during the Shemitah year? Okay? That is the question that the Minchas Chinuch considers. Okay? The additional question that I'll add on, give me 1 second, Moshe. The additional question that I'll add on to that is that better or worse than renting out your field to a Nachri during the Shemitah year? If I had a choice, right, to either put something in right beforehand, knowing that it's going to sprout and shoot up from the ground during the Shemitah year, or to take my field and rent it out to a guy, which one is better, which one is worse? Are they comparable? Is the conceptual are they the same and the conceptual analysis equal in either cases? Or might be one more white one be more chumrah than the other? That's Bezus Hashem what we will start with next week. Moshe.
Would this be comparable to a similar situation, Trumas Maestros, Orla, Yashan?
In what sense?
In that
Is it contingent on the Hashrasha?
When it starts growing.
Right. Or again, a similar question comes up in all those areas. A similar question comes up in Hilchos Shabbos too. In Hilchos Shabbos too. Right? When have I violated the Isser Zoreya? Famous machlokas among the Achronim. When have I violated the Isser Zoreya on Shabbos? Is it the point that I put the seed in the ground or when it starts taking root?
Okay.
Well, that's by Bishul. That's by Bishul Shabbos.
But a similar...
But that's precisely what I'm asking you to consider. That's the question that I leave you with. Be'ezus Hashem, we will pick up with that question next week. Shkoyach, everyone.